Listen carefully to these words. Absorb them, because they are very beautiful. Our text tonight is Isaiah 52, 13 through 53, verse 12. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the child of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him, for that which has not been told them they see, and that which they have not heard they understand. Who has believed what they heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of the dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he has taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. Here ends our reading from Isaiah. It's pronounced kol in Hebrew, pas in Greek, omnis in Latin, todos in Spanish, and the one I really don't know how to pronounce is the one in German, alles, alles. In Texan, it's all y'alls. It's the most superlative language in, or word in the language, isn't it? It's the word all. And in every language, it has the same meaning. It means total, complete, entire, the whole enchilada. It is everything. All. A-L-L. As I said, this section of Isaiah is a servant's song, one that foretells the coming of Christ, and not only that, but the coming of Christ to the cross. And in this, the servant has it all. See, my servant will act wisely, says Isaiah. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. The servant had it all, and he certainly would need it. This servant song was originally given to the exiles, Israel, during the 6th century B.C. And during their exile, these exiles were singing songs of lament, of sorrow, of pain. And this pain came to them because of their eviction from the promised land. That's what it means to be an exile. They were thrown out, and they were thrown out because of their sin. And in many ways, they were, frankly, addicted to their sin. I read recently of a really, really awful science experiment that a scientist did a few years back on some monkeys. Now, basically, what the monkeys would do is they were conditioned to go and pull a lever to receive some food, and they would. After these monkeys were conditioned to do that, the scientists went and added cocaine to their food. That's why this is an awful experiment. So the monkeys would go and pull the lever and receive cocaine. Eventually, of course, they got addicted to cocaine. But then the scientist started to withhold the drug from them. How many times do you think the monkeys, on average, would go and pull the lever consecutively, hoping for cocaine? He counted 12,800 times. That's how addicted these poor creatures were to cocaine. They needed it. It was what fed them. In like manner, Scripture talks about us as though we are addicted to sin, and we cannot help but pull the lever. We are fixated on things like gossip, anger, getting our own way, selfishness, worry, laziness, excuses. And through all of this, we find ourselves, like Israel, in exile, in bondage. We are stuck, and we continue to pull the lever. And our exile makes us lament like Israel laments, sing songs of sorrow like Israel sings songs of sorrow. But to such captives, Isaiah gives them a different song. He gives them the song of the servant. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. The servant, Jesus Christ, has it all. Colossians describes Christ like this: for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Hebrews says this: the Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being. Jesus the servant. He's not just some assistant to God the Father. It's not like He's the vice president of the cosmos or a junior partner. He is God, a full-fledged member of the triune Godhead, equal with the Father in every way, from eternity past, yet He is the servant, and the servant has it all. And this servant gives it all. Listen again to some of the ways that Isaiah 53, our text for tonight, describes what the servant gave, or how he gave it. He was stricken, smitten by God, afflicted, pierced, crushed, punished, disfigured, led like a lamb to slaughter, cut off from the land of the living, assigned a grave with the wicked. Jesus Christ, the servant, gave it all. Every last ounce of his being, he gave it all. But the servant also delivers it all. The Lord says, by his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify, will make righteous many. The servant delivers to the captives what they need most, forgiveness. Forgiveness. From Calvary, our God touches us with blood-bought forgiveness. The absolution declares it, the font seals it, the table celebrates it. And Paul talks about this in Philippians when he writes, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Jesus Christ. All, total, complete, everything, the whole enchilada, all for you. Christ had it. He gave it. He delivers it to you. And it's all part of God's plan for you. Good Friday isn't just a moving tragedy. Like I said, we know the end of the story. It's not a stopgap measure in God's plan for the world. God didn't look out and say, oh man, they're screwing up. I better send somebody in there. No. It wasn't a knee-jerk reaction. It was, as Isaiah puts it, God's will. The cross was there from the very beginning, in the original blueprint of the world, written into the first script. Golgotha, the cross, is God's decisive plan before the very beginning of the world. What does that mean? Think about that. It means that Jesus, co-creator of the universe, knew when he was planting a certain tree that from that tree would come the very cross that he was crucified on. And when he formed Judas in the womb, he knew that this is the one who will betray me. When he made Pilate and Herod and set them up as rulers in Jerusalem, he knew that they would stand trial over him and condemn him to death. All this means that he didn't have to do it, but he chose to do it, and he chose to do it for you and me. Our depressing, deadly song, our lament, really knows only bondage and captivity, addiction. But this is all trumped by Isaiah's song for you. A song that tells us of forgiveness, gives us freedom, gives us God's mercy. And when the words of the servant's song enters into our ears and into our hearts, we can't help but respond, can we? And we'll respond tonight with these words at the end of our service from a hymn written by Isaac Watts. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a tribute far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Let us pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that on this night, so many nights ago, so many years ago, you gave your all for us. Lord, help us to serve you. Give us the faith to believe. Give us the faith to serve. Give us the faith to spread your word. We pray this in your name. Amen. We'll continue our service.